Hey, PC Gamers, this is Associate Editor Josh Augustine. It's December 22nd, and with me today I have...
Intern Gavin Townsley.
Yeah, so we're here today. It's just a few days before Christmas. The office is just crammed right now, getting the issue shipped. So we're not going to have a full podcast this week, but we've been playing The Old Republic like crazy. Gavin and I have been playing nonstop for basically the past week.
Yes, nonstop. And you just got your review up online, right?
Yeah, the review just went online on the website, actually just like 10 minutes before we're recording this. It's on PCGamer.com if you can check it out. I enjoyed the game a whole lot.
Yes,
but we got something for you this week. We're not just going to sit here and ramble.
Yeah, we're taking a break. We're not doing an official podcast this week, but we do have something to tie you over through the holidays. We had an interview with lead writer Daniel Erickson. We talked all about the light and the dark and how the story plays out with Tor, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So check it out. It's right after this.
Yep, and we'll be back with a full podcast, episode 300, just after the new year. So be sure to come back for that. It will be fantastic.
Meow.
So what's the funniest quest you wrote in the game?
The funniest quest I wrote is probably from a just, like, WTF piece. It's a quest called Republic Roulette. Mm-hmm. It's on Ord Mantell. It's the quest that we kept waiting to get cut. I wrote it right after, like, really early, coming right off Dragon Age, which gives you an idea of sort of the tone and feel we were in. And we ended up sending the entire thing to the SRB because I was so convinced they would take it out of the game. And you come around a corner. In Ord Mantell, if you ever played Smuggler or Trooper, the local military is insanely corrupt. And they're fighting it's really a local government. It's pretty much run by criminals. And so they're fighting an armed insurrection there. And so it's really hard because you're trying to, especially as a trooper, you know, you're fighting against these separatists, but everybody that you run into that's on your side is just horrible people. And you find this one group who, they're supposed to be giving out supplies to refugees who've lost their houses. But instead, from their logic, because they don't have enough for everybody, they've turned it into a game. And they're having the refugees run the active minefields that are left out there. And if they can bring back enough of the mine casings, they win a prize. So when you get this quest, you can either... This is one of the... We have a series of quests that we call the test or tempt quests. And we tend to put them in the origin worlds, and it says, all right, if you're going light side, we're going to see if you can stick there. If you're going dark side, we're going to see if you can really, you know, man up to it. This is definitely a tempt quest.
Okay.
Because if you're going light side, you get there, and the immediate light side thing you can do is you can leave and go tell the ethics officer. But that means you don't get to do the dark side options, which allow you to either run the minefield yourself or pick from a variety of different refugees and actually in real time have them run the minefield and gamble on it. So most people are actually usually initially attracted to the quest because you're coming down the road and you will see people flying in the air like 40 and 50 feet and hear like the Wilhelm scream.
That's awesome.
What was that? And you go running over there and you see people lined up to play. And then you get the quest and you see the light side, dark side option. And if you really are dedicated to the light side, walking away from that and going,
it's tough.
I'm not going to play this. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to watch the show. I'm going to go tell the ethics officer. Yeah, that takes some work.
Yeah, that sounds like a great quest. What class are you going to play first in the game?
Right now, I immediately rolled a Sith Warrior.
Okay.
And honestly, it was just because that was the class that I had not played for the longest time. It was one of the very first classes that we had pretty well buttoned up. You know, we kind of focused in on Vader early. Corbin was the first planet we did. And so I have seen, I literally edited every single line and every piece of content. I'm the only person who's seen every moment of this entire game. But I had not seen the Sith Warrior with any of the cinematic final polish, with any. So going back and getting to see that in all its big, beautiful pieces. And I'm playing a super Care Bear Sith Warrior, which means there's a ton of content I've never seen. On Dromund Kaas, there's a scene where you're supposed to be going, and yes, it's a simple, hey, go make sure that this guy lands in the spaceport and he gets his package where it needs to be for your master. You get there, and there's two different groups of criminals who have both shown up, hired by different people, also to get this thing. And the light side version, you basically talk them into focusing on each other and you don't attack them at all. And what breaks out is, like, it's got to be a good 2-minute cinematic of this mass melee going on. Mm-hmm. While you and your companion character, every once in a while, a little flashback, are, like, dodging out of the way as, like, crates are flying by or people are throwing through the air. And I was, like, watching this whole amazing piece our cinematics team did. Wait, how many people are going to see this down the light side path
here? Yeah.
Like, I had to really work to be nonviolent here.
Yeah.
And it's those little surprises that are fun, even when I felt like, you know, I knew what was going to happen in the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a ton of surprises.
Excellent. What was the first class you played?
Well, the first class anyone ever played, I think, was the Sith Warrior.
Oh, okay.
I think he was the first one that was in the game.
Okay.
I think the class I've played the most and put my most sort of personal attention, because I came from being a lead designer before I came into BioWare, so I'd always been part of the senior design group doing it. And so the agent was definitely the one that I'd spent the most time in, just because in the non-role-playing game world, Mass Effect excluded, because you can do it there too, if you hand me a sniper rifle, I'm a happy man. Like,
yes.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
So again and again, I would go back to the agent and ask questions like, why does a sniper actually not have a longer range than other people?
Mm-hmm.
Which he does now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the one that I was always going back and saying, I want to make sure this. We actually managed to make the sniper feel like a real sniper in an MMO combat game. And the combat team did a fantastic job with it. For those of you who have not tried it, agent, sniper, hutball, top platform. Enjoy yourself.
I've heard that. Do you play mainly defender if you're in the hutball? That's what I hear.
It really depends.
Defense is amazing with it.
Defense is amazing. If I'm playing a sniper, I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Although, I really will play something that's a little bit more just chaos inducer.
Mm-hmm.
I will pick somebody who is clearly a top performer on their team and just hunt them down mercilessly, whether or not they're actually performing anything at the time.
Okay.
You can actually, because between the leg shots and doing the headshots, especially, you can set yourself up pretty well with the multi-platforms, where if you're not part of the core group and they're not part of the core group, they're really mystified about who's killing them. And you can just be, you can become a spoiler even if you're not the best PvP player, because what you're trying to do is take out their best guy, which is actually a much bigger impact than me, who I'm never going to be the MVP of the hutball game.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can take out their MVP, that's a net gain for my team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Josh was an Imperial agent, and he was trying to be light side, but he found that quests put a lot of morally gray options out there. Is the game designed to give us situations that challenge us more one direction or the other? And are you guys trying to get more morally gray? You said tempt quests.
It really depends on the class. So the classes are all written in a very different style. Playing the agent is probably the most gray class by its nature.
Okay.
You're sort of half KGB, half SS, and you're doing a little bit of a Jack Bauer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing because you're in the role of defending a civilization that is run by pretty horrible people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still your people.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are not Sith. Most people are not these evil, awful people. You have billions of citizens that you're trying to protect.
Yeah.
And you're very much encouraged to go any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So the agent, I think if you play, like when I was playing my agent, I ended up playing my agent very much from a, if you're in the Empire, I'm going to do everything I can to protect you. I really believe in my leadership. And if you're outside the Empire, I see you as the genocidal maniacs that, sort of purported to be, and I will just take you down.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned out very gray.
Mm.
You know, I think it's a natural. The Jedi Consular is another one that tends to veer into the gray area a lot, because you're really the thinking man's Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, and it was based around the Qui-Gon model.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who's
a
lying, cheating, stealing, and,
yes.
You know, cheats at dice and steals people's ships and, but all for the greater good.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to get the job done. The light and dark in the warrior and the Jedi Knight for instance, are much more classic, sort of almost fairy tale light and dark. They're almost the classic Star Wars stories.
Okay. Excellent. I found that I play a Sith Inquisitor, and I didn't. He was always talking about, I can't make a decision, I don't know what to do. And I decided early on, I'm going to, if Josh is going light, I'm going to be the evilest guy I possibly can. And I didn't find it hard to be evil, but he was talking about a lot of gray choices, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I find it relatively easy to be evil, but
on the scale of, and we actually did build it out, one of the things people asked really early, too, was, hey, this doesn't seem that light side, right? As the Inquisitor, at the beginning, you'll get light side choices, like, don't torture that guy so much. And it's because we have to decide where you were to start with. So on the scale, from the top to the bottom, of where your story starts as light side to dark, it basically goes Jedi Knight, Trooper, Jedi Consular, Smuggler, Bounty Hunter, Agent, Sith Warrior, Sith Inquisitor.
Okay, so I right? am the evil.
Sith, because the Sith Inquisitor is the Emperor's fantasy.
Yeah.
So if you want to start out just wicked as can possibly be, it's right there. If you want to go light side as an Inquisitor, it's a long slog. And your first moments of being light side as an Inquisitor are small moments. The same way your first moments of being dark side as a Jedi Knight are small moments. You're giving somebody bad advice. You're sending them on a path that's probably going to put something bad. You're being a little greedy. You're not going maniacal and, like, butchering a village, right?
Yeah.
Later, as it builds up, you have to see, because it there's just that the disconnect, right? How would you have ever been a Sith if you were just coming out and being, like, happy Care Bear guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing on the other side.
Okay. I found that the story with the Sith, I wanted to be that evil character, just like you said. It's meant for that kind of that fantasy, the Emperor fantasy. I found those choices and that story path of being very evil really satisfying to that. But it also made really a compelling reason to try out the light side as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to see how can I make that role happen with light side.
And so, one of the really interesting things about the Inquisitor is unlike the... the light side Sith warrior that I'm playing right now is very sort of samurai. You know, it is very, like, warrior with honor. The light side Inquisitor is who Palpatine was pretending to be.
Okay.
So you become the statesman.
Oh, okay.
You become the very intelligent, always sort of sees the next thing that's going on, looking at the bigger picture. But there are moments it's very hard not to break... small sort of story spoiler piece. It's not a big piece, but the on Alderaan there's really a love story that Rebecca Harwick, who wrote The Inquisitor, wrote, which was fascinating. And there's a scene where you're trying to get this woman to call up an old boyfriend because you need something he has. And you can totally just empathically talk to her the entire time and try to convince her, but she keeps resisting. And the whole time there's always the option sitting there that says just call him, and it says shocker.
Yes.
And you have to keep your finger off that button. But so many people, when we actually see from the tests and people playing, will try to be empathic with her and try to talk, and eventually just be like, just do it, and start electrocuting her. And I think that's probably the core Inquisitor in my mind.
Yeah, I had that exact moment. I was in that quest and thinking, oh, I really want to see what dialogue comes out of it because this is a great story, but I had to go dark, and so it's just immediately zapped her. So do you like to challenge the player's perception of their character? For example, is the job of a good story to make us reflect back on real-life moralities while struggling with ones our character's facing game, or should we be engrossed in a story that real life isn't even considered?
It's kind of an interesting one because we have a set morality. There is a canonical conception of the light side and the dark side as it applies to Force users and how it affects Force users. So we actually write the light side and the dark side choices. Really, if you take it away, when you're talking about the non-Force users, it's almost a classic good and evil slider. But when you're dealing with the Force users especially, it is a canonical light side and dark side piece. So there are things that we very much expect to go against a modern Western morality. Or just things that you might not expect, because you're like, that was totally mean. How is that light side?
Yeah.
Life conquers all. Mm-hmm. That's the simplest version of it. Anything that preserves life is better than anything that does not.
Okay.
Beating the holy hell out of a whole group of people who are too, like, this quest is not in there, but, like, if you were to have to beat up an entire room of teenage girls who were obstinately not leaving a place that was on fire, mm-hmm. that would be light side. Okay. Right? If that was the only way to get them out of the building and save their lives.
Yes.
Obviously, if there was a better way, that would be the dark side one.
Yeah.
But, so you get these really sort of interesting, nuanced pieces that, one of the ones that people ask about on Corbin is, I believe it's called Dark Science now, which is the one where Lord Renning is doing experiments on a bunch of crazy creatures, and he believes he has seen like a way to find the truth of the Force. And a lot of people were surprised when, so in the quest, he tells you to go talk to his assistant and find out where to find this beast that has escaped from his experiments, and she's like, oh my god, help me betray my master. He's totally loony. We need to take him down. Going that route is actually a light side route.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the writers, we actually know what's happening. We know the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is Renning is insane.
Mm-hmm.
He has not actually discovered anything. Mm-hmm. He is a complete masochist, and he is spending billions of dollars of resources just torturing things for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So putting an end to it, which is what she wants to do, is the light side route.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the light side route is setting up a total ambush, lying, doing all these crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
The dark side route is, going ahead and going and doing the quest for him. And then the double dark side dip, which I'm guessing if you were going for that, you probably did, is the then telling him that his assistant was trying to do this and then torturing her as well. But there's some of these that don't jump out as things that you would think right at the beginning. I think the one that shocked everybody that we decided to go for, it was pretty controversial even in the office, was we took the prequels route that relationships for Jedi were forbidden and were a path to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of romance fans for BioWare games.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
A lot of people headed for Jedi. But one of the things we thought early was the Jedi they're monks.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to be sacrificing your own desires.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to be putting aside what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So making players do that to try to be fully light side is actually a very compelling piece.
Yeah, definitely.
And so you get this really interesting trinity between your morality, your personal morality that you bring in, the game's morality that it's talking to you about, and then when your companion characters start to come in, and we'll see in the statistics as people's gameplay will change radically. I know the first time I tried to play a really light Sith Inquisitor, and I couldn't do it, like, because, oh god, Kem. Right? Your first companion character comes in, and he is just so disapproving. I don't care about we made the disapprovals on the affection very small, you know, so it's like a negative one if you get something bad. So it doesn't really hurt statistically, but he's so clear on being a terrible Sith.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so clearly a disappointment to my entire history of my culture that finally I was just like, you know what, that's fine. Let's go kill some people.
Yeah, I took a lot of hits just doing stuff with Kem, and it's like I could not figure out how I was supposed to please him, but it tends to be anything chaotic against me. And then, well, he's like happy.
The interesting thing for Kem, and that was one of the things, so when we first started writing the companion characters, originally we were told, hey, by the systems guys, we can just really easily mark them as light side or dark side or whatever, and then we'll just fly. You guys can go through and flag your responses. And we tried that, and it was terrible. They all seemed very flat, and they just seemed like, oh, I'm already light side, see, they pick me. So we didn't. We went through, and we wrote out their personality profiles, and we marked every single line in the entire game for 40-plus companions.
Oh, wow.
So I will tell you, Kem is not dark side. Kem is Sith power, Sith ascendancy.
Okay.
Kem is acting like a proper Sith.
Okay.
So if you are yes, my lording people, he is not approving. If you are doing nice things to do nice things, he is not approving.
Okay.
He is not about power structure. He is about, are you being the biggest, baddest Sith around? Same thing, if you're torturing little children or something, he thinks you're a wuss. Right? Like, what kind of waste of time is this? This is not what being a Sith is about. Us being a Sith is about domination of powerful enemies.
Okay.
And so if you sort of keep that in mind, and there's a few of these, and it takes people a while to figure out that. I actually went back. The last thing I did in the codex before the game shipped is I went back and I put a little sort of playmate profile likes and dislikes on all the companion codexes. Mm-hmm. So at least it gave people some tips.
Yeah.
I think the one that confused a lot of people at the beginning was Mako for the Bounty Hunter. Mm-hmm. Who people were like, why do they give me a light side companion? But Mako is actually, in fact, almost similar to Kent. She's insanely professional. Mm-hmm. So she likes you to take jobs, do the exact job as it was specified, mm-hmm. and then collect a lot of money. Yeah. Those are what things she is passionate about.
Oh, man. Is it important to have those two idealistic views of a person's choice in Tor? So always have a good option and a bad option and a middle option. Or is it frequent room in the... Do you try to put it in the middle more often than not?
It really, again, depends on the class and it depends on the piece. Star Wars is, at its whole and at its base, a fairy tale about good and evil.
Okay.
Right? Like, the movies very much were. There is mm-hmm. good, there is evil. They are definitive, clear things. It is not... So, before this, I was working with Dragon Age Origins. And on that, it was the, in fact... thing to always make the choices as hard as possible and as gray as possible. Mm-hmm. Instead of do you burn down the orphanage or do you save the kittens, it's do you burn down the kittens or do you burn down the orphanage. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is very much not that. Mm-hmm. But that said, we wanted to make sure there was more room in there for different styles and different styles of stories that would work. Mm-hmm. So again, in places like The Agent, which he's already noticing it's very much not that.
Yes.
Very often you are having to try to think about through long-term ramifications. The Trooper is actually another one that has a lot of that. You're in the pit, you're down there, you know, in the middle of a military operation trying to make hard decisions right then. Mm-hmm. There's an extremely powerful one on Coruscant where there's a huge buildup of this guy has done these experiments and supposedly... he has managed to make cybernetic people into cyborg bombs, mm-hmm. and there's no way to tell. Mm-hmm. That's the entire shtick about what he's done. Mm-hmm. So you find all of these horrified, seemingly innocent people who clearly have had surgery done on them, mm-hmm. and you have to decide if it's okay to basically euthanize all these people mm-hmm. who, if what he's saying and all the claims and the research notes are correct, could destroy half the city mm-hmm. if they were activated, but there's no way to prove it or not.
Wow.
And so you sit there as a trooper going, and the part about the trooper that's interesting is you're clearly given orders one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then you have to decide. So you can very much see where do I end up on the good, you know, on the light side, dark side scale if all I do is just follow orders. Because mm-hmm. obviously, you know, you still get your points for it. There is no "I was just following orders" exception to your dark side skills.
Yeah. So what's your favorite evil choice in the game? And what's your favorite good choice?
What's my favorite evil choice in the game? Wow. I don't think either of those are... I can say my favorite good one. I can't think of a favorite evil one that doesn't take a lot of spoiler backstory.
Okay. Well, then...
Silliest one, which I really, really like. So there's a couple of them on Alderaan. Alderaan was a great planet for... we've got a couple of classes that are, by their very nature, the iconoclast rebel guys, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the smuggler and the bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. So Alderaan was super fun, because you're like, okay, now we clearly have the fish-out-of-water comedies with the incredibly unpolished characters going into the snotty noble land.
Yeah.
So there's a fantastic scene where you can have a ritual duel with the smuggler, mm-hmm. and right as they're in the middle of explaining the duel, you can just shoot the guy. And he just starts screaming and complaining, and it's just like super mad and flail, and you just shoot him again. And he's like, the duel hasn't started. And you're like, how about now? And you just keep shooting this guy full of holes.
That's
and it's a fantastic moment. There's the same thing that you're sent to negotiate as a bounty hunter at one point on Alderaan, and the guy refuses to negotiate with you because you're not even ranked. You're nobody. Like, he's insulted, they even sent you. And he basically wants you to go on this little errand task, and it's very much the kind of things you'll get in RPGs sometimes, right? He's like, well, you know, to prove that you're that I should even associate with you, I need you to do this, you know, go and deliver this thing to such and such. You can just beat the hell out of him instead. Like, you can just punch him delirious into the floor.
That's
and, like, and you really just, and, you know, your quest giver is horrified. Everybody is horrified. But it's a very natural moment for it. My favorite light side quest, and I had to do it, so I had to eat my own medicine. And it's not that it's the morality of it, it's the, are you really going to do this as a player? One of the things, sometimes the metagame is important because you have to say, in the same way, hey, you're not going to get the romance scenes. You know, you really want to go light side? Like, I know you were just, you might have cared, not cared about them, but I know you were chilling out for those. Making people give up loot, making people give up something that looks like a cool opportunity or a cool cinematic, you know, it's amazing how many people will turn dark side just to see the engineers get jetted out of the airlock in a particular flashpoint. On Corbin, one of the early ones that was our wake up, it's a BioWare game and it's real, is you come back to the Sith Warrior and you've been sent to a tomb to collect all these shards to basically prove that you went down to the tombs. And Clemrol, who's basically like the class grew up and he's pretty wuss, he has gotten together a bunch of lower acolytes and they jump you and they try to take them from you. And it's a total squash fight. I insisted that the fight just be pathetic. And so he's like, and you just slap him down. And he's like, they're going to kill me. There's no way. I went down there. There were too many monsters. Like, I can't possibly do this. If I can just get through this one stage, though, like, I can, like, retire and be like a Sith janitor or whatever, you know. And you can give him your shards. And, of course, if you do, your quest update immediately goes to collect the shards, from, which means you have to run the entire tomb again.
Oh, man.
And it was interesting when we first put it in because QA was like, what the hell happened? And I kept getting things that were like, you know, like they would bug it. I had to redo the quest. And I'm like, well, yeah, you gave away the shards, right? And the response we kept getting was, well, I didn't think it would let me. So that's one that I'll always love in there because it's, and you know, we have other quests like that throughout the game, but it's the, no, we're talking realsies. Like, you really want to, you know, and if you're going to be a light side Sith warrior, you're going to have to make some sacrifices to do this.
Yeah, that's excellent. So I got to ask, in part of Star Wars is the conflict between light and dark, and you're describing a lot of it now, but there's a lot of chances, like, for redemption. You're dark, and you suddenly want to, like, I've had a change of heart, I've seen something that makes me want to go to the light.
Right.
I mean, we saw it with Darth Vader through the movies. Do you think that players will ever get the opportunity to swap from playing
absolutely.
A dark to a light, or even more so, from an Empire to a Republic?
Well, never Empire to Republic, and that was one of the ones we discussed really early, was it didn't actually make a lot of sense. We're not dealing with when people fall to becoming Sith or come back in the movies, they're not actually Sith as we're talking about in the game. They're fallen Jedi. What we're talking about is a completely different culture from a completely different empire. The amount of people who... We always use the World War II example, because really Star Wars is a giant World War II movie. Even for the clothes, right? We've got, you know, people having dogfights, even though they're in space, and, you know, the whole deal. When the amount of people in World War II who probably went dark side was probably very, very high, who under the rigors of war, as we often see, did horrible, awful things. A British soldier who has lost his stuff and just given up his morality, it was not going to become a Nazi. He was going to torture Nazis, right? Like, you don't get... you don't get, like, the swap. Nobody was like, oh, I'm a bad person. I'm going to join the other side.
Okay.
Right? Because you're from a place. You're from a particular culture and perspective. Now, the story of redemption, absolutely. And we have some big, big moments, especially late in game, where you can actually get some pretty big light and dark side bumps. What we never wanted to do, though, was invalidate everything all at once. You know, I'm always, like... I understand it from, especially from sort of a Judeo-Christian Western perspective, the Vader story. But I'd kind of like to see what happened if Vader lived for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, how long was he going to get that, keep that shtick going?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he did a really nice Deathbed Redemption right there.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, you can definitely always turn the path around, and we give you some opportunities to do it in some big ways, but you're going to have to work and maintain it.
Okay. Excellent.